Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to think back when you were a young teen, or what I guess they call them tweens now if you're not quite a teenager. What was the worst answer you could get from your parents when you wanted to do something? Maybe. We didn't like maybe, because if we got a no, well, maybe I could work on the other parent, or I could come up with some new arguments. If we got a yes, of course, we were fine, but maybe left you in limbo. You just had to wait. That's one of the answers for prayer as well that we learned in the catechism. God might say yes, God might say no, or God might say wait. When it comes to answering prayers, some of the best advice I ever heard came from Psalm 46. Verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." How many times in life have I said to myself, and I'm sure you have too, I need to be still and I need to know that God is there. All of us here believe that God is almighty and all powerful. All of us believe God loves us and that he wants to bless us. All of us believe it is a good idea to go to the Lord in prayer when we have a decision to make about our life or something important that's about to happen. We know and believe that it is wise, it is actually commanded to give it to God, and yet so often we give it to God in prayer and then snatch it right back. How many times have I said to myself, "Well, yes, I wait on the Lord, but the Lord helps those who help themselves, so I better get busy and do it." In our text, God has given Abraham a promise that although he is already an old man, he's going to have a son. And this son will have many children as well, and eventually his children will be like the sands on the seashore. And that one of those descendants would be the Messiah that's been promised all the way back to Adam and Eve. Abraham and Sarah must have rejoiced that they were finally going to have a son. They must have been excited about having an heir. But then they had to wait. They needed to wait for God to fulfill his promise and for God to do it in his own time and in his own way. Abraham was promised, again, that one of those descendants would be the Messiah, that God would bless the whole world. And I think Abraham and Sarah believed what God said. They believed the promise, but that promise now, when we get to our text, was made years ago. Abraham and Sarah were already elderly when the promise was made, and they're not getting any younger. Sarah's still barren, and so she decides it's time to take things into her own hands. Sarah comes up with a plan. The plan was that, as they sometimes did in that culture, she would give a slave woman to Abraham and have a child by her, and legally it would be her child. She would give Hagar to Abraham, and they would have a son, and she would call it hers. Well, Abraham listened and went to Hagar. They married, and he had a child. Sarah's plan worked, or so it seemed. But the trouble is that this was a human plan. And now there was trouble in Abraham's household. Hagar discovers she's pregnant and she starts to sort of lord it over Sarah. And who knows what snide remarks went back and forth. Hagar began to look with contempt on her. And so Sarah got angry and started to treat her harshly. Her behavior got so bad that Hagar runs away. She flees into the wilderness. God comes and, "Where'd you come from and where are you going? Do you have a plan here?" And he promises that she can go back and tells her she should go back to Abraham's household. But God said to Abraham, "You will have a son by Sarah." By now, Abraham's almost 100 years old and Sarah's about 90. So Abraham says, "No, Lord, let Ishmael stand before you. Accept him. God, we had a plan. We made it work. Here's the son." But God said, "Ishmael is not the child of the promise." He says, "He's taken care of that plan. Sarah will have a child, and they will name him Isaac." Abraham and Sarah had taken things into their own hands to sort of kickstart God's plan of salvation. But God was going to take care of fulfilling the promise in his own time and in his own way. When human beings try to do it on their own and not listen to God, there are likewise consequences. There certainly were consequences in Abraham's household. Abraham and Sarah tried to make it happen. Sarah got jealous of Hagar. Hagar got a little bit proud and arrogant and made her mistress unhappy, and in turn she was made unhappy by her mistress. Abraham now has two wives and both of them are discontent. And Ishmael, through no fault of his own, Ishmael is a son of Abraham and Sarah, and yet he's not the child of the promise. He's not the favored son. He's told he can't inherit. A lot of heartache was created because Abraham and Sarah were not content to wait on the Lord's guiding. When it comes to knowing and understanding and being in the will of God, we sometimes take matters into our own hands. We become impatient when God doesn't seem to be answering as quickly as we'd like or the way we would like him to. So instead of waiting for God to reveal his plan, we take it into our own hands. Sometimes even act contrary to what God would have us to do. It's human nature to try to prove ourselves to God. Well, that's a problem with earthly decisions, but it's even more so spiritually. In our epistle, Paul talks about it. He says, "Why have you exchanged the freedom of the gospel for the slavery of the law?" Why give up the freedom of the gospel for the slavery of the law? What does he mean? The gospel says you and I are forgiven and free through the blood of Jesus Christ. The gospel says we don't have to earn God's love, that it's freely given to us, even if we don't deserve it. Paul says it's human nature to try to do what God would want us to do. We don't mean to do it, but it's so easy to become a little bit proud when we think about, well, Lord, you see what I put in the offering plate? Lord, you know how many times I've been to church the last few weeks and the service I've offered to people. You know, we tend to think God ought to be reasonably proud of us because we're pretty good people. And we are. But Paul says Jesus' words on the cross, "It is finished," means God had completed his own plan of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. And all we need to do is believe. On the other hand, Paul seems to talk about the fact that rather than feeling really good about ourselves, we can do the opposite sometimes. We can ask, how can God love and forgive me if he knows my heart? We don't feel worthy of God's love. Or we feel that God won't continue to love us because maybe we've made a decision that we now know was contrary to God's will. And of course, we aren't worthy. The law condemns us. So Paul says, why do you want to go back to the law and go under that plan when you can go under the plan of salvation, which simply says, if you have faith. So he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then as a sign of your faith, do the good things that you do. In the book of Galatians, Paul repeatedly demonstrated his thinking. In chapter 3, he said, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. Now it is evident that no one is justified by God, before God by the law. It is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And in the next chapter, as we read, he said, Ishmael is a child of the law, the child of human effort. Isaac is the child of the gospel, the one who would be the ancestor of the Messiah. You and I want to be children of faith, not children of works. We have become the sons of God, sons of Abraham, by our baptism. God has claimed us and made us his own and promises us to love us and forgive us. Abraham was promised one of his descendants would be the Messiah. Jesus Christ came into the world to be that Messiah. Jesus Christ is the one who makes it possible for the whole world to be saved if they have faith in him. As you recall from Sunday school, Abraham's faith was going to be tested another time, wasn't it? God said, Abraham, take your son, your son Isaac and take him up on a hill, and there I want you to kill him and sacrifice him. I can't imagine what Abraham was thinking. God, I waited so long. You finally fulfilled your promise, and now you want me to kill the one through whom the promise is supposed to be fulfilled? But Abraham obeyed, didn't he? He took Isaac up on the hill, he tied his hands, he put him on the altar, and he was raising the knife when God said, okay, now I know that you obey me, that you believe in me, that you trust in me. And God provided a lamb that could be sacrificed in the place of Isaac. God the Father's plan of salvation, that someone should be sacrificed in your place and mine, that Jesus Christ would go to the cross and pay the price of sin once for all times. He did that because he knew we could not do it on our own. We could never be good enough. God the Father said of Jesus that they should call him Jesus, for he will save his people from our sins. This son was going to be born in a miraculous way, not because an elderly barren woman would have a child, but because a young virgin named Mary would conceive and have a child. Paul put it this way, for in Jesus Christ you are all sons of God through faith. For as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. As we move through Advent and continue to prepare for Christmas, let us continually seek God's will for our lives. To do that, let us strive to find the time we need to be still and know that I am God. Find time for prayer and devotion and reflect on God's great love and all the blessings he pours down into our lives. And rejoice that not only has he blessed us in the past, not only is he blessing us right now, but he's going to be with us on into the future. Let us be patient then, as we wait for the leading of the Lord to be revealed to us each and every day. There's no maybe about it. God loves us, forgives us, and ultimately he is in control and will lead us through this life into the next. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which does indeed surpass our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.